Yeah, are you okay to get started?
Yes, I'm very, very sorry about that, guys. I do not know. Today is not going really well. I have my internet jumping. I have the fire alarm. So hopefully from now on, everything's going to be fine. Can I just double check that everyone can hear me? Because I've never used
Yeah, I
my
can hear you.
headphones. Okay,
Oh
cool.
yeah, everybody else can hear? Yeah, Charlie said yes in the
If
chat.
there's any issue, just put it on the chat and I'll try to sort
Yeah.
it out. So if there's any technical issue. Okay,
Yeah.
perfect. So let's finally begin our seminar. Let me just open the slides and show you the screen. Also, guys, bear with me. I'm kind of your original, old professor who might be very good with academic stuff, but is absolutely horrible with the technology side of things. So it will make you feel like we're in the actual lecture today. So Victor already introduced me, so I'm not going to go in a lot of detail about myself. I'm a PhD researcher at Queen Mary University, and I think what's more important to say that I'm studying psychology. So my views on essay structuring and essays in general might be slightly different from Alexandra's, and I think that's why it's particularly important for us to kind of look at aspects from different perspectives today. So, whoops. So today we are going to talk about the essay planning, and it's particularly important because by knowing how to plan your essay very well, you can improve a very important skill on your marking criteria, which is structuring your essay. So, first of all, we're going to start. Well, we've already started with a little bit of a discussion that Victor kindly facilitated for us. So, we're going to talk a little bit about why essay planning is particularly important. Then we are going to talk about some of the homeworks that you guys sent me, which was very good. And I have a lot of, I was very happy reading a lot of that. So I'm gonna go in detail about it. Then we will talk a little bit about the theory of why do we actually need to plan our essays and what are the main components of a plan, as well as obviously the essay. And then I'm going to introduce you to a very useful tool of how to help you plan your essays in a more kind of creative and graphic way, because I know a lot of people actually prefer this type of planning. And we're going to do it through the life observation of Lucidchart and through life kind of planning and structuring your own essay. And then we are going to actually go through the life marking as we usually do in the seminars. We're going to go through the structure of a short essay, and hopefully with your help, we're going to decide what could be improved, what's already good about the essay, and what sort of grade this essay could potentially get. Finally, we have been kindly provided by a very interesting research proposal from one of our students. And I think it would be very interesting to go through that because it has a slightly different structure to a regular essay and it's a bit more complex. So we are also going to go through it together and decide on what's good about it and how to improve it. Finally, of course, I'm hoping we're going to have plenty of time for questions and discussion because I know some of you already emailed me your questions. Some of you might have other questions popping up while you're doing the task. So if we could just start with a quick discussion, not more than 5 minutes, especially because we started a little bit late. Sorry. So yes, while I'm going through the trouble again, if you guys could think about the answers.
Anastasia,
Yes.
because of the background noise, is it good for Alexandra to take over, do you think?
For some time, yes, that would be
Yeah, that's
good.
great. It's a funny situation,
Oh.
guys, where Anastasia has a fire alarm. So basically, there's stuff that happens sometimes. So I think that Anastasia, if it stopped now, then let's continue. If it starts again, then Alexandra will switch over to Alexandra, so to kind of can have both lectures today.
Yes, thank you so much. And I'm really sorry, guys. This is not,
I think that's fine.
This is not what usually happens. It always has to happen when there's something important going on. So yeah, if you guys would like to give me your answers, if you don't want to speak, feel free to send me your responses in the chat. So can we just start with, so why do you think essay or dissertation or any other piece of work that you're working on planning is important? And what is the purpose of it? And let me, yes, so I can't see the chat, at least.
And as I say, it's at the top, so should be at the top, yeah.
Yes, great, I found it. So yeah, feel free to give your responses in the chat if you're feeling a little shy, or raise your hand, or just unmute yourself and speak up. I'll give you a moment to think about it.
Maybe you can read out the questions as well, Anastasia, so that it stimulates people's brains.
Yeah, of course. And also, I was meant to mention it in the very beginning of the seminar. If at any point you have any questions about what I'm saying, feel free to just interrupt. I prefer kind of answering questions as we go along.
And as I said, I think Charlie has his hand raised now. So yeah, maybe Charlie can start.
Hi, Charlie. Yes.
Hey, Natasha. So I would just answer the question like one by one. So based on what I think. So for the first one, I think the purpose, for me, the purpose of essay or dissertation planning is to make my mindset or like the logics of my arguments more clearly. So while I'm writing the essay, I don't get two different lines twisted together. So it's like easier, so less struggles when actually writing the essay. For the second one, I think the right moment, I think it depends on how long the essay is going to be. If it's a 3,000 word essay, I would start planning in 20 days advance, because like, of course, I know the deadline in a long time advance, probably 1 or 2 months before the deadline. And we'll come for the third question. I still tend to make it like, I know it's definitely not the right way to do, but like for me, I just made it like introduction, body, and basic conclusion. But conclusion is not like a big part in my essay planning, so mainly body. Basically just body and just like adding to stuff to see like to see what I would like to write my arguments and related references in the body. And for the fourth question, so while I was doing my home exercise, I thought I added mainly two points. One was the limitations and evaluation points, which I didn't do really well in the essay. I did some, but I didn't do them like clearly or like strong, make them strong enough to contrast. And the second one was the coherence, because those things I wrote, which were out of my plan, out of my original essay plan, didn't seem coherent or like connected enough with the previous body part, because they're also part of body, but they're just not like, they're like a separated body. Yeah, that's my answer for the.
Thank you so much, Charlie. I think you've raised some very important points. And I think, you know, not having your essay, as you said, coherent enough is one of the outcomes of not having an essay plan. But I also want to reassure you, you said you probably didn't do it right. I'm not sure. Everyone has a very different style of how, you know, they want to prepare their plan. And that's why I said we're going to look at different ways of how it could be done. I don't think there is a particular correct way of how it needs to be done. So we are going to go through these details today, but I think it's, thank you so much for sharing this. I think it's very good.
I think Damilari who also raised his hand, so maybe we can hear one more contribution on those questions.
Yes, sure. Damilari.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. From the first question, what is the purpose of essay dissertation planning? I think it's just right to plan for one's essay or dissertation in order to have, for instance, the dissertation has a lot of information that has to be input into it. You need a lot of information to put into the dissertation, so you don't want to miss out on some articles you need to read. And you need an ordered way by which you can retrieve some of the things that you're working on. So if you do not have a plan, it makes the whole thing a hazard. Like there is no way by which you can actually systematically go through what you have been doing, like taking a stock of whatever you're doing. So the planning is important. Then why do you know if it's the right moment to start planning? I mean, when do you know is the right moment to start planning your essay? I think the right moment is when you have your topic. No, the moment you have your topic, that's when you have to start thinking about how you want to go about writing it. If it's an experimental study, how do you want to conduct your experiments? That's for the for people in the sciences. And I think when you have your topic is the right time to start planning what you want to do. Then what components do you usually include in your plan? Well, prior to this series, prior to the seminars, I usually have them in introduction, body, and conclusion. Then the content, introduction, body, and conclusion. But one thing I learned from the last seminar, especially when it comes to having a very coherent body, is the ability to be able to write out the critiquing part, especially when you have it in tables, just like the way Alex was able to show us the last time, you know, having the source, the outcome, results, then my critic part to it. It makes, by having an ordered table like that, you know, having several of it for different articles, you are able to have a better view of the whole essay even before putting down or writing it out. So having an ordered way of doing it is the new thing that I think I've been able to learn from the seminar so far. That's all.
I think this is
I can't hear Anastasia. Can anybody hear her?
Hello.
Okay, cool. I think Anastasia's maybe got disconnected slightly. Okay, so yeah. Strange. That's okay.
Froze, so I think.
It froze. Okay, so she'll get started again then. Okay, that's fine then. Do you want to?
Yeah, I mean, maybe the issue is because she didn't stop her screen share, I can't start mine.
I see. So it's still on her screen share. I see. She's starting now. So I think that will start up again. Do you want to maybe take over, Alexandra?
Okay. So I don't see her anymore.
Wait, she's back. Oh, okay. Cool. Hey, okay. Anastasia.
It just has to be 5 billion hazards today.
It's okay. Just continue.
When did you lose me? Can I just ask?
I think that, Demilado made a very interesting point, and then after you were going to reply, and then we lost you.
Yes, okay. Sorry about that, guys, again. Not my day today, clearly. Yes, so I was saying that I think the second point is particularly important about when is the right moment to start planning your essay. I do believe the moment you get your essay question is the right moment to start planning it. Not necessarily you need to have a lot of the information, you know, because sometimes you know, sometimes when you pick your essay topic yourself, especially for your dissertation, you already know a little bit about what you're going to be talking about, because that's obviously something of interest to you, and you already know, maybe you already know the literature a little bit. When you get your essay topic, which is kind of imposed on you, and you've never done this before, you can start thinking about what, so if you were reading a paper that actually had this title, what are the things that you would expect to see, and what sort of things you think would be important to mention in your essay? I think that's why I think it's particularly important to start as soon as possible and to not sort of put a time frame specifically on, you know, depending on when the essay due or anything like that. But thank you so much for this input. It's very, very helpful. And we're going to talk a little bit about this in more detail later on. Does anyone have any other questions or any other comments that they want to share? Let me open the chat again. Anyone else? No? I'm not sure I can see the group chat because now it's empty for me, but considering people are still moving heads, it means that I'm not frozen, so everything is good. Okay. Okay, so now let's move on to some of the examples from you. First of all, I would like to say a huge thank you for all of you guys who submitted their homework. I think, generally speaking, it was great. First of all, that you've put some time and thought into doing it. And I think a lot of you were on the very good track of getting it done. But I want to focus on some very, very good examples from you and how people employ different techniques of doing their plans. And then talk about a little bit about things that perhaps are not the best way to be doing your essay plans. So I am one of those people, I prefer not to put names to the examples because I don't want to kind of, you know, put people in the spotlight. So I received this example and I've attached the title of the essay and the more general plan. I think this is a very good way of having your essay plan because it allows you to kind of follow a structure, a more general structure of the things that you're going to be talking about. And it's very concise and it's very easy to sort of look back at it and, you know, while you're writing your essay to check, am I answering, you know, this question that I put in my plan correctly? Am I mentioning everything that I need? It's very concise, it's very easy to follow, and it's very easy for your own self to actually be able to kind of see if things make sense. And what I really liked, what the student did, because it's, so this essay is actually part of the ongoing work. So I guess that's why it's a bit of a kind of good example, because the student is still working on it. And quite a few of you actually did that. So while you have a very concise plan, so something that is framed, you know, you can look back at it. Then for each of the points in your plan, you go in a bit more detail, you start adding information, and that's how you basically end up writing your entire essay. Even though it seems like you're just planning and doing work in very little chunks, you end up you know, actually working and producing your essay. So these are the two examples from two different essay, also from two different essay plans. So the first one actually refers back to this general table of contents. And I've selected obviously the first, well, apart from the introduction point, the first point that person, that the student thought was good to mention. And then it goes in a bit more detail here. So it's very easy to follow, as well as this example. It has the sort of main points that the person thinks is important to mention in the introduction. And it really, really helps you to structure your essay and actually start writing it, because we've discussed in the previous seminars that sometimes, you know, people lack motivation and they feel overwhelmed with the amount of information, you know, that the amount of work that they need to put in their essay. So having, you know, these bullet points is a very good way to kind of motivate you to do your essay, because, you know, once you have this sort of structure done, it's not as intimidating anymore. But also, once you look back at something that looks like that, you can also look back at your structure of your final essay and see, am I going off topic? Am I not putting enough detail about certain things that I needed to mention, and so on. Then we have two other examples that they're not necessarily not the correct way of doing it. I just think it's not necessarily about planning. That's more about writing your actual essay. So, for example, in this work that I received, there are a lot of different points to mention. There are a lot of different research that's already mentioned. So as a plan, it is not necessarily good to have so much detail, because this is pretty much looking more like an actual essay. And also, I would probably say that this is a bit too much information for the introduction for the essay. So if this was a dissertation, that potentially might be slightly different. So you might put more information in your introduction. But I think it would be good to consider that certain things from this introduction might be put in the main body of the essay. Whereas in this example, the main point of an essay plan, of course, it's not something that would be graded. It's not something that you submit. So it's something that you're doing purely for yourself and for your own good. So looking back at an essay plan like this, you know, while you're writing your essay, so in this case, it's actually not detailed enough. So it wouldn't be very helpful for you. So I think this sort of essay planning would be absolutely perfect for written exams. So this is one thing that I was always doing when I was sitting in the written exams, especially if it's an essay-based thing. You do not have a lot of time during the exam to write up about absolutely everything that you're going to be talking about. And obviously, you also think as you write your written exam, you think about additional things that you want to add. So this structure would be absolutely perfect when you are very limited in time and if you're sitting in a written exam. But perhaps for an essay that you have more time to write, it would be better to have it in a little bit more extended way and have sub points. So in the body of your essay, it would be helpful to just separate all of these things into separate lines, because otherwise you are really risking into cramming a lot of the ideas into the same big paragraph, and obviously your structure suffers quite a lot from that. One thing I also want to say about all of your courseworks. So of course, each week we're physically not able to comment on every single of your homeworks, and we're trying to kind of pick examples from different people. But one thing I want to say about all of your works, because absolutely all of your works included that, you've included little comments about things that you've learned in previous seminars and the things that you prospectively looking in the future seminars. And I think this is fantastic. And it really makes us see that you guys are grasping the material that we're talking about. And it's very nice to see, and you're all doing a very good job with that. Okay, does anyone have any questions about any of the examples or sort of anything so far. I am still struggling to open all of the chats and everything on the screen. I'm not even sure if my chat is working because I'm not getting anything at all.
I think there's no messages, Anastasia.
Gina wants to say something, so raise her hand. So please, Gina.
Okay. So my question is, the scope of reading literature, if that makes sense, because whenever I try to plan my essay, I plan my essay as I read. So I find it very overwhelming to see all the different ideas of like literatures that I can find and discover as I go along. And I know it has to be a super relevant to the essay question, but do you have any tips to the scope of literature?
Thank you, Gina. This is a fantastic question. And I think this is something that, you know, everyone is always struggling with. And I was actually going to talk about it a little bit later. That's why I think the essay plan is particularly important, because especially if you don't know a lot about the topic before you start writing your essay, you start researching, you start reading the literature, you find this interesting piece, you find that interesting piece, and it just becomes, you know, way too much information. And you want to show in your essay that, of course, you've done, you know, wide reading, that you not just read the articles that were presented to you by the lecturer. So you want to kind of show that you've done a lot. But then at the same time, not always it becomes, you know, crucial to mention in your work. So I think one thing that students always stress about is that if they don't cite enough literature, and that's why they start sort of packing too much information into their essay. And the essay structure suffers quite a lot because of that, because you end up, because of the essay structure, all other points of the marking criteria start suffering quite a lot, because you become way too descriptive, because you just, you know, listing all the literature that you've read instead of critically analyzing it, instead of, you know, synthesizing it. So I think in terms of your question of being overwhelmed with the literature, I think it's more than enough to have for each of the points that you're trying to make, especially while going through your essay plan. So if you have two or three sources, for example, for each point that you're trying to make, and then maybe another one or two to kind of counterbalance the argument that you're trying to make, so, you know, maybe to criticize or maybe to support it, it is absolutely not important to include absolutely everything that you read in your essay, because it, you know, the more you read, even if you don't write about it in your essay, your marker will still, it just, you get this feeling from an essay that the person actually knows what they're talking about. So I'm not sure I can give a tip on how to sort of pick up the most important literature from what you're reading. I guess the most important thing is to be very clear of the aims of your essay, what you're trying to achieve with your essay, and then just pick a couple of sources that are the most relevant to the aim of your essay. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Cool. Any other questions? So I am not able to see anyone's hands for some reason.
There's no more, so I think we can go to the next bit.
Okay, cool.
If anyone raises their hand, I will see them, so I'll be able to let you know.
Thank you so much. Great. So now let's talk about why do we need to write an essay plan. As I said, it might seem, you know, when you start reading the literature, you need to spend a lot of time to find the relevant literature. You need to actually write your essay. It might seem like a bit of a waste of time to have an essay plan, but that's not the case, because there are many, many reasons why this is particularly important. One of them is to improve your argument. So good planning will allow you to see the bigger picture and assess what is missing in your argument, but also there is an opposite side of it. As I said, when you are not 100% sure, when you don't know a lot of information about the topic that you're writing, it can become slightly overwhelming. And as Gina was suggesting very correctly, you can become very stressed and over-include stuff in your essay, which is why your structure can suffer significantly. So having an essay plan would allow you to only pick the literature that is particularly important to answer the question that you're trying to address in your essay. But also, when you have this structure in front of you, you are able to see, is there something that is missing? Maybe I have way too much information on one side of things that I'm trying to express in my essay, but I don't have enough in the other points that I'm trying to make. So when you are reading your essay, especially when, you know, when it's something that you're working on for a very long time, you might be working on an essay for, you know, many full days, maybe for a week, maybe for a month, you start losing the perspective of your essay. You start forgetting kind of what ideas you put in what paragraphs, and you starting, you know, as a person who worked on so many essays before, where you get confused as to what you're writing at a certain point. Having an essay plan really allows you to see, to kind of go back to the perspective of your essay and see what exactly you were trying to say and see whether there is anything that is missing from one paragraph or the other. Then the next main idea of why an essay plan is particularly important is to develop your critical thinking. So I think people do not give enough credit to an essay structure, because quite often it doesn't involve a big proportion of your grade. It doesn't, you know, people just don't give it enough credit. I think if your structure is suffering, then a lot of other points kind of snowball into receiving a worse grade. So by having an essay plan, you are able to spot the gaps in your own knowledge, strengths and weaknesses of the literature. Again, you will see if you read enough to start writing your work. And the thing is, So in your essay planning, my brain just went off a bit. Yes. So.
Well, look, Anastasia, no technical issues. Just making sure.
No, sorry, just.
That's okay. That's fine. Yeah, feel free to continue.
Yes. So essay planning really helps you to develop your critical thinking, because again, coming back to the previous point, you are able to see a kind of table of contents of your essay and to see, you know, if someone else was reading this essay, does this make sense? Should I add something else? Am I analyzing the literature, or am I just describing, you know, all the literature that I found? Are there any gaps in the literature? Is there something I should criticize a bit more on? And yes, so the next point is to identify your own knowledge gaps. So I think that's what I was referring to when I said it's particularly important to start your essay planning right when you get your essay topic, because you can write an essay plan as if, you know, what do you think are the important subheadings of your essay, what are the important arguments that you think would be interesting to make in your essay. And then once you have a plan, you can look back at it and think, okay, do I actually know enough information about this particular topic? Do I know enough, have I read enough literature to argue on this point? And then looking back at your plan, you can always read more information, find the details and expand on the sections of your plan and expand on. So if you start with a very basic small plan of a few paragraphs and a few points that you want to make, then the more literature you read, the more information you gather for your essay, you would be able to add extra points to your essay plan. And again, once you collected all the important literature for your information, then you would be able to look back at it and see, is it too descriptive? Is it actually critical? Is it analytical? And does it actually hit all the other marking criteria points? And finally, it is also keeping yourself focused. So as I was talking about your homeworks and the first example that I've provided, and that's why I thought it was a very good example, because you have a very short, concise plan of your essay. So with just the key points of how it would be worth unwrapping the topic that you're describing. And then for each of the little subheadings of your essay, you start adding more information. You start maybe adding the literature that you read. Maybe you start adding some of your own research or anything else. And it really helps you to stay motivated to write an essay. So as I said, it can be really overwhelming when you have, especially when it comes to dissertations, when you know you have 10,000 words in front of you and you've only created a Word document on your computer. It can be a really stressful time to think, oh my God, how am I going to write 10,000 words, keeping motivated? And we've already discussed it, I believe, in the first seminar, that it's important to write, at least to set yourself a goal to write a little bit every day. So having an essay plan is very helpful for this purpose, because it can help you to break your essay into smaller chunks of information. So you can say to yourself, okay, today I'm only working on this part of my essay or on that part of my essay. And it really helps you to motivate yourself and not feel as overwhelmed with your essay, especially, as I said, when it comes to dissertations. So, of course, when we talk about essay planning, it's impossible not to talk about the structure. And this might seem like a very, very obvious slide because, you know, we've discussed it today already, that all essays or book chapters or journal papers or any really piece of information that you're reading or writing will have three main parts: introduction, body of your essay or work, and conclusion. So in theory, it's all very straightforward and very simple, but it always appears to the marker, and I've seen this very, very often, that a lot of people actually know how to write their essay. So the essay itself has a very good body, it has a lot of very good information, a lot of critical analysis, but by not having a proper introduction and proper conclusion, the essay suffers a great deal of stress, and the whole structure and, you know, your great analytical arguments go to complete waste just because you did not have a proper introduction or conclusion. So let's have a look at these three parts in a bit more detail. So your introduction is the place where you need to describe what you're going to write. As I said, it might sound, you know, very obvious, but you will be surprised how many students do not actually either introduce their topic and they jump right into explaining, in this work I will be exploring certain, you know, factors or whatever they're writing about. a lot of people just give a brief overview of the essay, but they don't actually discuss the kind of things they're going to talk about. And it becomes very difficult for the marker and to whoever will be reading your work if they don't know the kind of arguments you're trying to make and what are the main goals and what are the main arguments of your essay. Regardless of how well you phrased all of your arguments and how well and critically you analyzed the literature, it becomes very difficult to follow your structure. So your introduction, of course, needs to introduce the topic and your research question. It needs to define some of the... So regardless of what your essay is focusing on, you might want to define some of the critical concepts for your essay or define the terms that you're using in your essay if it might not be very clear for your reader. You also, again, depending on whether it's an essay or a dissertation, you might want to talk about how are you going to argue for your main argument and how are you going to measure certain things in your work. So maybe you're doing a sort of a comparison of literature, or maybe you're doing a literature review, or maybe you are employing some other research method. So it will be important to mention in your introduction, just so it the reader is already sort of prepared for what you will be including in the main body of your research. You need to define the aims and the scope of your argument. And I think, again, this is where Gina's question comes into play. So once you yourself know the aim and the scope of your argument, it's become much easier to pick up on the most important literature, so not to be so overwhelmed. So if you know that you're only focusing on this aspect and not on the other, it helps you to narrow down your literature search. As well as, of course, you need to make sure you have a clear question and an argument before you're starting to write. Because if you narrow down your topic from the very beginning, it will save you a lot of time on reading additional literature that perhaps is not very useful to include. And it will, again, help you actually make an essay plan. So if you know what you're writing about, it's much, much easier to have an essay plan. So then the body of research, and I believe that's something that Alexandra will be talking about next week. So how to build a good argument. So of course, in the body of your essay, you need to present your argument and evidence for each of the points that you're trying to make. I want to kind of start from the end of these notes. It is particularly important in the body of your essay to have one thought per paragraph, because a lot of people tend to combine many different perspectives, many different opinions, a lot of different research into one paragraph. And regardless, again, this is, I just have to keep coming back to it, regardless of how good your ideas are, regardless of how strong your arguments are, and how much thought and analysis you put into your literature, if it's not structured in one paragraph per thought, it becomes very difficult for the reader to grasp your ideas. And again, because of the structure, everything else kind of falls apart just because it's difficult to follow it. So once you kind of came up with your arguments which is one per paragraph, you can add evidence, and your evidence can be absolutely anything. It can be literature, it can be case studies. For bigger research projects, of course, it can be your own research or maybe some of the data that someone else previously collected and you're using in your work. It really depends on the aims and the scope of your assignment. So for a smaller essay, it's fine relying on the previously published literature. In the original research, it is more important to rely on your own data. So it is also particularly important to check if your assignment has a set structure. So for a lot of dissertations, so there is a sort of basic outline of a dissertation where you have the introduction, sometimes it's not called an introduction, it's just the outline, the context of your work, to be able to let your reader know what you're going to be talking about. Then it follows by the literature review. Then it follows with methodology, where you describe what sort of methods you're employed in your research to either collect the data or recycle the data that someone else previously collected. Then you talk about your findings, or in scientific paper, it's, you know, it's often like a results section where you have statistics, followed by discussion and conclusion. So many, in many cases, and from the work that I've seen and from the work that I've read before, a lot of the social sciences papers, they've included sort of methodology within their literature review. Some people, especially if you're doing a more qualitative analysis, if you have, for example, interviews for your dissertation, if you're collecting qualitative data, your findings and discussion quite often go hand in hand. So you present, you know, one of the findings from your interviews, and then you subsequently discuss it. That's why it's particularly important to have a look at the marking criteria beforehand and to see whether there is a specific structure that, you know, your university is expecting you to follow for this particular assignment. And just once again, because I think this is one of the most important points to highlight, it does need to be one idea per paragraph. If your structure doesn't follow that, it's very, the whole thing falls apart. Finally, we have a conclusion. And again, this is something that I've seen from many students. It suffers quite a lot when the essay does not have a conclusion. I know quite often you can find yourself in a situation when you only have 1,500 words for your essay, for example, and you know, you found this amazing research and you found 15 different papers that you absolutely have to mention in your essay, and you think that conclusion might not be as important as long as you mention a lot of the literature in your body of research, and as long as you write everything well, people would be able to understand your ideas and where you were coming from and what you've done in your work. But this is quite often wrong, and it's a very good thing to have a proper conclusion, to sacrifice a few hundred of words just to summarize your findings in a more concise way. You need to kind of summarize the main evidence. So first of all, it's always good to remind the reader about your main question, because it might seem obvious that you're answering a specific question in your body of research, but in fact it's not very obvious. So it's always good to say what was the aim of the paper or what was the aim of your research. Then you tell us about the evidence in the body that answers this research question that you started with. What support for your argument did you find or was found in the previous literature? How, it's also very, very important to say, how does your study contribute to the literature on your topic? Of course, this is more appropriate for sort of for dissertations when you're doing your own research. It's not as necessary for shorter essays, but it's always difficult. It's always important to say what are the implications of the findings that you discuss, and it would be also important for the essay in general, not just for the dissertation. As well as for the dissertation in particular, you want to discuss the limitations of your study, but also the strength of your study. So why are the methods that you've used for this topic are better than what was done before? And one thing that we were always told as undergrads, and it was always a very crucial thing, you do not want to introduce any new evidence in your conclusion. So that was quite often my own error when, you know, the piece of research didn't quite fit into the body, into the main body of research, I tended to kind of add new information in the conclusion, and I was always downgraded for this. So make sure that your conclusion actually just summarizes the information that you've presented previously and does not include anything new. And keep it structured, clear, and confident without deviating from the main topic. I understand that it's always good to give a perspective for the future studies or to discuss limitations and strengths, but make sure it's directly tied to the topic that you're discussing without going too much kind of into imagining what could have happened in the future in this research. It's also important to remember, I think, as a kind of side note, when you're writing, you know, if you're writing your dissertation, and a lot of students I know are always aiming to publish their dissertation afterwards, regardless of whether you're an undergrad or master's student, it's always a good practice to have your work written in a format that could potentially be published in the future. So if you think about it, and you probably know it yourself by reading academic literature, you know that what people mainly read is your introduction or your abstract and your conclusion. A lot of people don't actually read the body of the research. So that's why it's particularly important to focus on introduction and conclusion and make sure it's very clear, while of course focusing on the body of your essay, because that's what you will be marked on for this particular case. My main kind of takeaway point from here is just ensure that you do not forget to have a structure in your introduction and conclusion, because these are also important and are often neglected by students. And because of that, their grades suffer quite a bit and they get downgraded on the lack of structure, even if there is a lot of very good structure in the body of your essay or research. Does anyone have any questions about the structure?
So we have quite a few. So we have Gina, Charlie, and Yeonsu. So maybe we can start with Yeonsu, then go to Gina, and then Charlie, and then Damilari as well. So we have four questions on this. So let's start Yeonsu, and then I will call out the different names.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, yes.
So I was wondering how to make a good conclusion, because I always ended up repeating what I've wrote in the body. But whenever I got my feedback, the conclusion was a bit like weak and repetition. So I was wondering how to make more concise and well-structured conclusions.
So it's a very good question. And I think, first of all, I think it is fine to be repetitive to the point, because of course you need to summarize the key findings. I would say, you know, the structure that I usually kind of implement in my work, I try to, because, okay, let me start from the beginning. So if we're talking about a research project, so something more broad, you usually have many different research questions and sub-questions and a lot of different things that you're interested in. So one way to summarize that would be to kind of broadly define the aim of your project. So for example, I'm working on three different concepts. So within my own dissertation, there are three different concepts and I have six research questions for each of the three tasks. So I have a huge amount of sort of information that I'm working with, but my general aim of my project is to investigate how mental health and discrimination sort of combine in student migrants. So instead of going in a lot of detail about all of my different questions and all the different aims of my study, that would be my very short summary of what the whole purpose of my work is. So then you want to just briefly state the method in how you actually try to answer the aim of your question. Again, even for the essay, it can still be a method. So you can always say, we reviewed the literature from different sources regarding, you know, factor X, factor Y, factor Z. And we found out, and this is, to summarize your results, I think it's always good to kind of refer back to your original main question of your essay, because it's very likely that you haven't explicitly kind of, you know, reinstated the your essay question, so your essay title. So if you look back at your essay title, if, for example, it asks, are there any differences between, I don't know, teaching systems in Korea and China, you can always look back at this question and just in your own words, after reading all this volume of information that you read for your essay, after you've written the main body of your research, in your own words, trying to not kind of look back at what other people said in the literature that you've been reading, in your own words, just just purely answer the question of your essay. There are differences, and the two systems are different on this factor, that factor, and this factor. And then when it comes to the limitations or further research that can be built on from this topic, this is basically, so that's when I was saying that you don't really include any new information in your conclusion, but not when it comes to sort of limitations and future research. So you can always explore, you know, even though in this essay we covered, you know, three different aspects on which this education might be different, there are potentially other factors that we should look at. And this is where you can, you know, kind of briefly mention it for the future reference, what other factors would be important to focus on. But this is something that you didn't actually discuss in the body of your research. So this will be, you know, it cannot be repetitive because you never really mentioned it before. But also, as I said, it's not a thing, it's not that you should copy paste it from your introduction, but it's absolutely fine if you are a little bit repetitive in your conclusion. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so I think we're moving next to Gina's question. So,
okay. So my question, I actually have two questions. The first one would be on the point that one paragraph per thought. For example, in my essay, I quite come across with occasion where I'm going to make like 3 points. For example, my topic sentence will be, I'm going to say this for 3 reasons, and first, second, third, and I elaborate on each point. And what would be the best way to structure the paragraph? Do I have to put the first, second, third in separate paragraph, or because they are all talking about reasons for a certain topic sentence, is it okay for them to be in one paragraph? That's my first question.
Do you want to, should I answer this question and then we move on to the second one?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So this is a very, very good question. And I understand how it can be confusing sometimes to kind of it's not always clear where the limit is to your idea. So whether, when one thought ends and when the other one starts. So I think in this case, when you have sort of 3 reasons for something, so you can look at it from kind of 2 different perspectives. So if you're just going to say, you know, there are 3 reasons for factor X, so because you are still talking about the factor X in your paragraph, so it will technically be one idea because you're talking about one concept. It doesn't matter if it has like 3 different sub sort of sections, then you can just focus on it in one paragraph. So for example, if, you know, as you said, like firstly, secondly, and thirdly, if you're only planning to have, you know, 2 or 3 sentences per point, I think it would be absolutely fine to leave it in one paragraph. especially if in the next paragraph you are planning to talk about some other factor that also has like different sub factors. If in the idea of your essay that you actually want to focus on these three different factors in more detail, or you have a lot of findings about it, and you're arguing specifically that all these three factors are important, or maybe you're arguing that they're not important, then them in itself become your main thought. So the subject of these three paragraphs, I don't know if I'm being a little bit confusing right now, but so it really depends on what you consider to be main thought, whether you describing these three sub factors for this one factor, or whether you will be contrasting the sub factors of a factor with something different, if you know what I mean. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so as far as I understood, if the points are my main thoughts, then it would be better to put them into separate paragraph.
Yes. Okay. So if it's just being sort of descriptive, if you explaining, you know, the factor has, you know, three characteristics, that's absolutely fine to put it in one paragraph, because your main idea of the paragraph is this factor that you're describing, regardless of its characteristics. But once these characteristics on their own become a thought, that's when you put them in separate paragraphs.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think it would be easier to, we'll actually get to it in the next side of the class today. So it will be easier to show you when we have like a graph in front of us. So I might do it to follow up on your question later on.
Okay. Can I ask my second question, or?
Yes, of course.
All right. So my second question is kind of messy, because so I don't quite understand what it means by how regarding the first question in the conclusion box. So how did the evidence in the body answer the question you started with? So for example, I'm referring to the situation where I write a dissertation, and my research question will not be in the form of hypothesis, because I'm focusing on qualitative research.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be in the form of hypothesis, which means I don't have preset answer to the question. So I ask this question, and then my research, from my research, this is what I found, and I'm going to argue what I found in my discussion. Then how is it related to how did the evidence, do I have anything other than to say then this is from my research, if that makes sense?
Yes. So of course, as I said, depending on the sort of research that you're doing, it might be slightly more difficult with a qualitative type of research. But first of all, you probably won't have a hypothesis, because, you know, qualitative research is quite often exploratory, and qualitative research is what leads to hypothesis for further research, but you would still probably have a sort of aim of your study. So to explore someone's attitudes about something, or to explore the reasons behind something. So it would still answer the question how in this case, I think.
Okay, so I have more questions. So one from Damilari and one from Charlie. But yeah, I'm aware that we have to move on to the live examples, but we'll take those two questions and then move on perhaps to the demos. So maybe Damilari first, and then final question from Charlie.
All right. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I have two questions. The first one is, how can one make a mental note of the number of words for each section, the introduction, body, and the conclusion, on the average? Like, what number of words for each section, because when one starts to write, there's a point one gets to that, you know, you've gone beyond the limits of what you're supposed to be writing in this section. So how can one have like a mental note of what one should be doing in terms of number of words for each section? That's the first question. And the second question is, how can one prevent the paucity of being able to elaborate on each section? You know, at some point, most times if one is used to writing a 3,000 words essay, now you are taking something much bigger, something bigger than what you used to do before. So how do you now, during the process of writing, have a course to really elaborate well and not enter into a descriptive mode and not saying things that are irrelevant? How do you ensure that you expand on all those ideas? Is it like you look for more evidence, or there's a way you write to make sure that you don't have paucity of words?
Okay, so in terms of your first question, I think it largely obviously depends on how many words you have for your work. So if you're writing a 2000 word essay, for example, I would say maybe put like 1/4 of your word count into your introduction and conclusion. So something around 250 words for introduction and conclusion. But obviously it's...
Sorry to cut you. This time I'm looking at dissertation. A dissertation for both questions.
So in this case, in the case of dissertation, conclusion, conclusion in particular, I think, becomes a very important point, because when you're writing a 2,000 word essay, you don't have that much evidence in your body of your essay. So there's not sort of much that you need to be summarizing, and the person who was reading your work did not forget kind of what your argument was in the beginning. So in this case, your conclusion can be a bit longer, but I would probably say, I don't think there is anyone who sits there and counts how many words you have in your conclusion. I think as long as you mention everything is relevant, not repetitive, and you're not adding an extreme amount of new information, it can be whichever you prefer. So I know, some articles have 100 word conclusions, some people have the whole page of conclusions. It really depends on the type of research you are conducting. And in terms of, I'm just a bit aware of time. So I hope that answers your question. So there's no kind of particular requirements, I think. And in terms of, your second question about the not being too descriptive, it's a very difficult question. I guess one thing to help you to understand what's important and what's not important is to read similar papers that were kind of the research that was conducted before, what sort of information they mention, what sort of definitions they provide, because sometimes it's also fine to be descriptive, because if you need to discuss, a model or a process, not always you have to criticize something. That's also important to understand that by trying to be, critical and analytical, not always it is possible. There are some pre-established factors that you just simply cannot really criticize. You know, the fact that, elephants don't fly, you don't have to explain that. It's a sort of descriptive fact, if that makes sense. But I would just suggest to read more. And the more you read, the more you find, oh, look, this author had a very different argument to this one. So maybe I should include that. Or maybe, if you're reading some articles, maybe they can hint on the kind of things that other authors mentioned. So maybe you can take some of their arguments as well and maybe criticize them, maybe not. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's fine. Thanks.
Okay, do we have time for any other questions, or should we do them maybe towards the end?
So, Charlie had a similar question to Damilare, so I think because we have about 15 minutes left, we should move on to the examples.
I'm aware that we had some technical issues in the beginning, so I think we do have a bit more than 15 minutes, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so should we leave the questions for the end?
Yeah, we can. Meanwhile, I mean, if you have any questions, meanwhile, you can also add them on the chat as we go through the live examples, and then good questions can be addressed at the end as well. So, yeah.
Okay. So now, after talking for so long about essay planning and what sort of components we need to include in our essay plan, as well as obviously the essay, we are going to look at one of the tools that we could potentially use for essay planning. It is important to say, and I'm always kind of up for the freedom of mind, it's just one of the tools that you could use. It's not, you know, it's not the only way, and it's not the only correct way. So whichever way you prefer is absolutely fine. So I know some people like to do kind of mind maps using notes, and they like to, you know, put it all over their walls. So this is just one method to show you how to save space and how to save a lot of paper on making mind maps in person. So let me just stop my screen share for a moment, and I'm going to show you how it all works. Okay, can you see my screen? Yeah?
Yeah, we could see your screen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just got confused for a moment. Okay.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, so this is a completely free tool. You can get yourself a paid account, and it has all the cool features of sort of collaborating with people, adding comments to your mind maps. But the free features of this tool would do just fine. So basically what it allows you to do, it has many different templates of mind maps, flow charts, organizational charts. So it allows you to create diagrams, and this is one way that you might potentially want to plan your essay if you're more into sort of graphic visual representation. And I know a lot of people find it easier to structure their work if it's presented in a graphic way. So we have an example here. So I've already started structuring our essay plan. And we have a topic that, as I said, it's a very interesting experience. I don't know a lot about this topic. And this is, as I said, I just received it from my lecturer. I don't know a lot about it, but it doesn't stop me from actually starting my essay plan. So does anyone want to help me plan this essay? What do you guys think is the most important thing to start with? So this is how you do it. You have different shapes on the left-hand side of the screen, and you can pick whatever you want. I'm very unoriginal, so I'm just gonna put a little like square thing. And, you know, of course, every essay starts with introduction, as we discussed. Then we have a sort of main body of our research, and we have a conclusion. So our essay title is, "What are the advantages and disadvantages of qualitative interviewing and researching social attitudes?" So what do you guys think we should have next? What would be important to start with? And it doesn't matter, as I said, if you don't know a lot about qualitative research or social attitudes or anything like that, this really doesn't matter. I'm not here to test your knowledge of the content. We're just here to think of what a good plan for the essay would be. Also, this has been bothering me.
I think the essay, the main body of the essay should include advantage and disadvantage, because that's answering the question.
Of course, that makes a lot of sense, and we can, oh no, it doesn't, okay, fine. So we have advantages and we have disadvantages. Okay, what would be the next step? Sorry, it's just I'm not a very graphic person. I'm not going to have a very pretty diagram. So what else do you think would be important to mention? So of course it makes sense that the question asks us about advantages and disadvantages. Is there anything else that you think we might want to start with before we go into advantages and disadvantages?
Define qualitative interviewing.
That's very good. And what else should we define? And where should we put it?
I think, yeah, it might be put at the beginning, the like the introduction, define the definitions for both qualitative interviewing and researching social attitudes.
Okay, so I think you are absolutely right in terms of saying that we might want to define it in the introduction, because as I said, it's very important for your reader to understand, first of all, why are we focusing on social attitudes and why are we focusing on qualitative interview. So I think if we add like kind of brief definitions into social attitudes, and let me make this a little bigger, into social attitudes and, you know, actually what I would do, I would discuss social attitudes in the introduction, so that we can introduce the topic of social attitudes. And then when we go closer to the main body of research, then we can describe social attitudes can be measured by, very briefly, by certain, this kind of method, this kind of method, and this kind of method. And qualitative interviewing is one of the methods that's been emerging recently. And here is why. And then we go into more of a discussion on advantages and disadvantages. What do you think?
Well, hello.
Hi, yeah.
Yeah, I think in defining the social attitudes, you could also learn, I mean, you could also borrow from other scholars how they've defined it, and you now stick with one of them, the one you'd want to stick to in defining. So that expands the definition into two parts. And yeah, that's before going into explaining the different types of methods that can be used in researching social attitudes, and now talking about the fact that you are doing more of a qualitative interviewing.
And I think that's a very, very good point. And I think what we should have done before that, we should have actually focused what is, you know, we should have thought about more what the question is about. Is it about just qualitative interviewing and about advantages and disadvantages of it? Or is it more specific to something? Because of course, if this social attitudes part wasn't even here, it would have been one essay topic. But now that we have particular focus on social attitudes, it becomes a completely different topic. And it's, as you said, Danilari, very well, that we also need to define social attitudes, what these are, what are the different methods before we actually go into advantages and disadvantages of qualitative interviewing. So you see, I hope this sort of little example shows how important it is to brainstorm before you actually dig into your essay, because If you don't have an essay plan before you start writing, of course you can amend certain things and you can amend while you write, but having either visual or maybe, you know, written, like we've seen from your homeworks plan, really helps you to think deeper about your question, about your topic of the essay, and then work your way around these things. Okay? Does that make sense, guys?
Yes.
And yeah, of course, yes.
Can I ask a question right now?
Yeah, of course.
So I have a question on that defining in the introduction. So I'm talking about both in terms of dissertation and essay. Does everything have to justify it? What I mean by everything is that, well, for example, if there is a very famous and big scholar's definition, and then if I'm going to take that definition, do I have to justify why I ignore all of the other definitions and adopting his?
I don't think you will have to justify that, because I'm actually currently struggling with the same issue, because there are many definitions that kind of look at the concept that I'm interested in from a slightly different perspective. And it really is sort of up to you to pick whichever one actually fits the purposes of your research better. So I am currently trying to find a good definition for cognitive biases, which can be defined as either an error in human perception, or it can be defined as a sort of, you know, thing that happens. So not having this sort of negative aspect of an error. So it really depends on what you're trying to focus on your work and what works for you. So not necessarily you have to define, not necessarily you have to explain why you're defining things the way things are.
Oh, and then in terms of defining, it's like similar question, but scope and aim for your essay questions. For example, if I decided to focus on like K-12 education rather than higher education, that will be my scope of my dissertation. Do I have to justify that?
It really depends. I mean, if it's something that you could justify. So in this case, I would probably say you don't have to justify, I guess, because it's your interest to work specifically on that. But then at the same time, so you said you're focusing on higher education instead of...
Well, my dissertation will focus on high school, so it will be K-12, rather than higher education settings.
But is there a particular reason why you thought it would be interesting to investigate that rather than something else?
Well, if I have to justify that, I'll have to come up with reasons. But for now, to be honest, it's just my interest regarding related to my career background. So that wouldn't be eligible for justification in my dissertation. So I'm asking.
So I think, first of all, it's absolutely fine to just have an actual interest in it. So I don't think, you know, that's worth of a justification. But also, on top of your interest, because you probably looked through the literature already, and there might be a gap in the literature regarding, you know, this and not the higher education in general, or there might be...
Hey, I think Anastasia is stuck.
It was me because it started raining very heavily here where I am. So I thought it was me.
Okay, no.
Back.
You're back. Okay, cool. That's great. Cool. Please continue.
Okay, yeah. So I was saying the reason why you're writing this dissertation is because you're interested in the topic, but you're also interested in the topic because of something else. So I would still try to justify it, because it's always good. There's always a reason why this is an important topic. I'm sure you can think of something.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I think, so this is one of the methods of how you can start planning, and this graphic way can also be helpful, but it also really depends on sort of if you're a very graphic person or not. I'm personally more of a kind of texture person, and that's why I really like the example from the homework of how the essay plan was structured. And now I'm wondering, should I go, Alexandra, into the research proposal?
Yeah, I mean, it depends how, you know, if everyone is okay to stay for 10 more minutes, I think we can still briefly cover just maybe like one paragraph of the live essay marking and then go into the proposal. Like, it depends how much people still want to stay.
Oh, I'm trying to open my chat, but not very.
Yeah, maybe you can continue then, Anastasia. And then if people need to leave now because we're kind of going a bit over time, then that's fine. Feel free to just leave now, guys. But if you can continue, then Anastasia will go over the live session.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea because we have the recording as well. So even if some people have to leave in a few minutes, you'll be able to catch up with the recording. So we make sure we go through all the examples. So yeah, now sorry about my background noise. It's raining here.
And yeah, so I'm just aware that because of my issue with the fire alarm, we also had to kind of start a bit later. So I am also fine to continue. And let's very briefly do a different demonstration. So your favorite life essay marking. And today in particular, we're going to be focusing on the structure of the essay. So let me just open it. Okay. And okay, can everyone see the essay? Okay, so as I said, well, first of all, I am a psychologist and I don't know a huge lot about development strategies in post-colonial Africa. But today, the main point of this life marking is to check how the structure actually affects the essay and how it could be improved and what grade you would get if you submitted this essay. So first of all, I think when I get the essay on the topic that I'm not very familiar with, so for example, when I'm proofreading someone's work or if I'm marking kind of externally something that is not related to psychology, what I like to do, I like to sort of scroll through the essay just to see how the overall structure actually looks like, whether there are subheadings, whether I understand what they mean, whether it all sounds relevant to me. So we have the question here. So it's a state-led development in Africa focusing on Senegal and Kenya. So we have introduction. Okay, that's already a good start. This essay is already winning. At least they didn't forget the introduction. The political challenges in the successor states during the post-colonial period. The economic challenges. Okay, that seems like a good structure because, you know, they're separating, you know, different types of challenges that I'm assuming. Well, I'm not assuming yet. I'm not sure if these are the challenges that both countries experience or one of them. But so far, it seems okay. Political, economic. Okay, so I guess maybe that was just about the African countries in general, because here the person starts focusing on Senegal and Kenya. It also seems, I know it might not seem like a very appropriate way to kind of measure things, but it also seems like there are, the paragraphs are of good length, and that's, you know, your marker is also a human being, and this is kind of the first thing that we look at, because sometimes you get an essay that is all one sort of continuous paragraph of different ideas without any separation. So it seems like there's a good enough structure. But one thing that slightly bothers me is that there is one paragraph per sort of subheading. So, you know, we don't want to have a subheading for every single paragraph, but rather we want to have, you know, we don't have to have, we only need to have one idea per paragraph, but we don't need to have a subheading for each idea for each paragraph that we're writing about. So it's, we're not sure whether, you know, this would be good. And then the person has a conclusion. I think maybe instead of reading the whole kind of essay, maybe we can have a look at the introduction and the conclusion, because as I said, in the main body, the most important thing would be obviously the content, and we don't have a lot of time to actually go through it now, and I don't have a lot of knowledge about it. So do you guys, if you can spend a minute or so just reading through the introduction, I think there is one, well, not one, there are quite a few important things that would need some work. And what I don't like about this introduction as a marker. So if anyone wants to actually tell me what do you think could be improved about this introduction?
You want to read it out quickly, Anastasia?
Yeah, sure. So, okay. After the independence, African states faced political and economic challenges while they sought to promote economic growth through state-led developmental initiatives in many sectors from agriculture to social services. Cooper points out that most African countries accomplished economic growth between 1950 and 1975. However, struggles between African populations to obtain power over the state shaped political conflict and economic policies, which contributed to the uneven development in contemporary Africa. In this essay, I argue that the development strategies during the post-colonial period have exacerbated inequalities within countries by using the case of Senegal and Kenya. So there is, I think, to me, there is one sort of very obvious thing that I don't really like about this essay. So can anyone guess what it is? No, no suggestions. Everything is beautiful and perfect. The best essay you've ever read in your life. Okay, well, if that's the case, you guys are not grasping the ideas today. So I would say what I don't really like about this introduction. I think the main body of the introduction is good enough because it introduces the topic. It does its job. But the thing is, this last sentence is particularly, I think, not very good for me, is because this in this essay, I argue that the development strategies during blah, 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 this is pretty much exactly as the essay title. First of all, you could have rephrased it in your own way, but also it's not only about what you argue. It would also be very good to outline what exactly you're going to be talking about. So if the person said, in this essay, I will discuss the political and economic challenges of the countries during the post-colonial period. You know, if they've given me a little bit more about how exactly they're going to argue this development strategies, that would have been much more helpful for this essay, I think. And also just not, you know, just not rephrasing the actual essay topic, because that doesn't sound critical enough. Okay, so we're assuming that the main body of the essay is good, because as I said, I do think that the structure looks good. So it does separate into appropriate sections, political, economic. What about the conclusion? Is there anything that should be done in the conclusion? In conclusion, the detrimental implications of the colonial political system formed the basis of the African political economy, which resulted in many political and economic challenges in the post-colonial period. By looking at the cases of Senegal and Kenya, it was revealed that state-led developmentalism in Africa focused on rural development. This was not able to mitigate regional disparities within each country. Ultimately, most African leaders try to accomplish development by utilizing the former colonial institutions. Therefore, despite the colonial period ending in Africa, the legacies of colonialism caused political and economic challenges within most successor states. Does anyone have any questions, suggestions about it? Is there anything that should be improved, or everything is good? Anyone?
I'm just wondering, Anastasia. I'm wondering, so to kind of have both perspectives, so we kind of looked about ways to improve this particular essay structure. I'm wondering, to look at the other side as well, what would you say is good about the essay structure, just to kind of have both perspectives?
Yeah, so I do actually think that this is a good conclusion. So I think it summarizes, so because we only read the introduction and conclusion, and I think these are the two bits that usually get the most repetitive, because obviously the main aim is stated in the introduction, then it has to be repeated in the conclusion. It doesn't sound repetitive to me. It does sound like the person summarizes the evidence. It explains, they've explained sort of what they did. They reviewed the cases of the two countries. This kind of last sentence sort of answers the main question of the essay. So actually sounds like a pretty good conclusion to me. And actually, to go back to the questions of how big the conclusion should be, as you can see, well, first of all, it's a tiny essay, so I think it's only about 1,000 words, 999 words. The introduction and the conclusion are relatively short, but then at the same time, it appears that the person managed to mention everything that was important for the sake of a conclusion. I have some, reservations for the introduction, because I would expand a little bit on that and would discuss the things that should be discussed further. But generally speaking, it seems like the structure is quite reasonable for this work. Okay, so I'm not sure I'm definitely going to take questions. I'm not sure I have the time to go through the proposal, but I would like to reassure the student that I'll still comment on the work. Perhaps we won't be able to do it in class today, because I'm again concerned about the time, but I do want to take some questions. And let me just also quickly go back to the presentation. And also to remind you, so we've got through the live marking. I also would like to remind you about the seminar next week about building a good argument. So that's when the real focus will be on the main body of your essay. I just wanted to focus a little bit more about introduction and conclusion today, because as far as I'm aware, there won't be any sort of in-depth seminars on that, because we want to kind of assume that we all know how to write a very good introduction and conclusion, but it often, when considering how many questions, very good questions you had today, that's obviously something that people struggle with a little bit. Okay, so does anyone have any sort of final questions?
Yes, so we have one from Damilare, so please do start.
Okay, thank you. Based on the last essay, I wanted to know if it was necessary to talk about why Senegal and Kenya were chosen as a case study for that topic, as part of the introduction. Is it necessary?
So again, I think it all depends on case to case. So maybe, so because we haven't actually read the main body of the essay, so maybe the reason behind selecting those two countries is because they have, you know, when the person discusses political and economical like reasoning, maybe they have similar structures in that. Maybe, you know, there's probably a reason behind it. But yes, I would suggest for that essay would be helpful to say we selected the cases of these two countries because they have either similar, I don't know, political structure or economic structure or economic growth. Or yeah, it is probably worth just saying why you selected those two particular countries. Any other questions?
None that I can see.
Okay, yeah, now I can also see people. Okay, if anyone has any further questions about anything and they don't feel comfortable asking on the chat or in person, feel free to email me with your questions. If you have any suggestions or anything. And as I said, I am very sorry we didn't manage to get through the research proposal today, but I will make sure that I'll get back to the student right after the class so we can discuss it a bit more.
Great, perfect. Well, thank you so much, Anastasia, for teaching the seminar. It was really fantastic to have you take over the class and to join. And I hope that everybody has had more clarity on this topic. There will be any questions, do please feel free to send them in. And Anastasia will have a look at that research proposal that we didn't get time to have a look at, and it will be sent back. So thank you again very much. Next week we have Alexandra who's back. And then the week after that, we're going to be having Karina, who's from UCL. So thank you so much again today, Anastasia, for the session. And thank you, everybody, for joining and contributing and listening. And we will send you all the material tonight or tomorrow, depending on the schedule of Alexandra. So thank you so much, everybody. I hope you have a fantastic rest of the day. Charlie says, thank you, Anastasia, for the patient explanations. Thank you, Anastasia. and yeah, everybody, please take care, stay safe. And we look forward to seeing you all next week.
And good luck with your assignments.